Let's go to a Spirit-guided relationship now between the husband and the wife and the Holy Spirit. Let's see what that says in verse 21 and on. 21 says, "And further, you will submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Now, why did God say you will do this? Why did He say, you know, if you want to? He didn't say that though, did He? He said, "And further, you will submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." You wives, okay, now this is when He really gets personal. You wives will, oh goodness, goodness, I mean that's awful, isn't it? "And you wives will submit to your husbands." Ooh. "You wives will submit to your husbands as you do to the Lord." Oh, maybe some of you girls don't submit to God either, see? So if you don't submit to the Lord, you don't submit to your husband. But you know what? You're going to have trouble. You're going to have lots of trouble. Is that right?
Amen.
See, God says here, "Wives, you will submit to your husbands as you do to the Lord." Now, there's a whole lot of women in the world that never learned this principle. That's why we have so many women that can't live with a man. Because they will not submit. In other words, today, even in the church, I heard Dr. Dotson say the other day that divorces are as many in the church as there are out of the church. And this is a principle that we don't teach our people. That the principle that when you get married, you know, it's not a trial and run deal. You know, it's a, you go, there's going to be many trials. There's going to be many trials. But if you stay with God, He'll lead you through all of them. He's got something He's going to teach you. But it, what we do, we just say, well, you know, I've got married 6 months ago and I don't like the way he does things, or I don't like the way she does things. So I'm going to find me another one. Well, if you've been married 3, 4, 5 times, there ain't no use in you marrying another one. You know, because if you hadn't found one in 3 or 4 or 5 you can't live with, you ain't going to find one you're going to live with. You need to make some changes or you ain't going to never find one you can live with. You know, I mean, I could ask this question. How many of you that have been married have never had a confrontation or a conflict with your spouse? Oh, not a single hand went up. Gee, went, not even mine. Everybody's going to go through confrontations in your marriage. Is that right?
Amen.
Sure they are. That's just the way life is. But that don't give you the right to divorce.
That's right.
You work through it.
Amen.
You work through it and you go on. You get stronger. And further, you will submit to one another. You wives will submit to your husbands as you do to the Lord. Verse 23 and 24. "For a husband is the head of his wife." Now, he's supposed to be. Now, some of them don't do a very good job. Some of these guys have never figured this out, and they've never learned how to be the head of the family. But Jesus says, a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of his body. Now then, if God sees a man as the spiritual head in every house, if he's not that, who's going to hold him accountable for that? God is, absolutely. God's going to hold him accountable. Some of you women will say, well, my husband's not fit to be a spiritual leader. He don't know nothing about the Word. That don't make any difference at all. It's not your position to judge him. You just turn him over to God and let God judge him.
Amen.
He can take care of him. He can change him.
Amen.
If you girls hadn't figured it out yet, you cannot change your husband. He's not changeable by a female. He's only changeable by God.
Amen.
And if I were to say, how many of you girls believe that? Hold up your hand. Hey, praise God. Okay, all of you hold up your hand. Okay. Because you all know that's the truth. For a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of his body, the church. Now, he gave his life to be her Savior. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives must submit to your husbands in everything. Now, that's really tough, isn't it? Now, did I write this book?
No,
I didn't write this book. Who wrote this book?
God
wrote this book. So he holds every one of you girls accountable for this. So you say, I ain't going to submit to my husband. Then if you don't, you're not being submissive to God. And I can assure you, there'll be a time when he will get you. You will not like what he'll do to you somewhere along the line. But God can make your life miserable along the line if you don't obey him. But let's see what he says in verse 25 and 26. Husbands. Oh, he's going to have something to say about these guys too. And you husbands, if your wife is a good girl, you're to love her. Is that what he said, Ernest? Oh, he didn't say that, did he? And you husbands must. Do you hear what he said there? You got it, huh? And you husbands must love your wives with the same love Christ showed the church, and he gave up his life for her. So how many of you guys are willing to give your life for your wife? You better be. If you're not willing to hold up your hand, you're in trouble. God's going to get you because he told you to do it. Did God tell us to do this, guys?
Yes, sir.
And he didn't say if she's a good girl, did he, Keith? No, he didn't say if she's a sweetheart. He didn't say if she cooks you a meal every night. He said, you're to love her like I love the church, regardless of how good or bad she is, right?
Yes, sir.
When she has her good days, it's real easy to love her, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
When she has her bad days, it ain't quite so easy.
Not quite.
But we can do it, can't we?
Yes, we
can. Amen. That was the answer I was looking for. Praise the Lord. You got the right answer. We can do it. That's what God wanted too. You know, that's why you answered like that, isn't it? Because you knew what God's Word says. He says, and he gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by baptism in God's Word. Now let's go ahead in the next two verses and see what he says there. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. Now see, that's what he wants us to be, the church. We have to get this in our spirit that as sons and daughters of God, he looks at us and he wants us to be without spot and without wrinkle.
Yes,
is that what he wants?
Amen.
Sure. I think about when I say without a wrinkle, I think about some of you girls that when you get a little bit older, when you finally get to the point where one day your skin is not as tight as it used to be, and you go look in the mirror and you say, look at this little wrinkle. And you go into hysteria with your first wrinkle. I got good news for you girls. They get worse the older you get. So no problem. God loves you regardless of you have wrinkles.
Amen.
And your husband, is he supposed to love you whether you have wrinkles or not?
Yes,
it makes no difference. I tell mine the other day, I told her, she was back there getting her makeup. I said, I want to come back here and give my honey bunny a sweet hug and kiss her before she puts on all that stuff. I want to tell you how beautiful you are, just like you are. You say she likes that, Edna. You know she likes that, huh? Sure she likes it. Every woman wants her husband to love her like Christ loved the church. Is that what he wants? Every woman wants her husband to love her like a lady, right? Sure. Does it make any difference whether she's 20 years old or 120 years old? That girl still likes for that guy to put his arm around you and tell you how much he loves you. Don't you girls love that? Sure. Of course you do. That's the way God made you. And that's why God told us men what we're supposed to do. And us men, we forget. We so easily forget. It's such a shame. It says, then, in the same way, verse 28, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man is actually loving himself when he loves his wife. I mean, I asked a guy one night down at Dallas. A guy walked in. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, I got a brain tumor. I said, have you repented of every sin? He said, yes. I looked over at his wife, and I looked at him, and I said, how's your and her love walk? He said, it's okay. I looked over at her, I said, how's your love walk with him? And immediately she burst into tears and started crying. I didn't need any more words. I knew their love walk was miserable. I knew he was not loving her, and he wasn't loving himself. Since he wasn't loving her, he had a grudge against her, and he's got a brain tumor. I said, sir, I don't know what your wife did, but your love walk, I can see, is not where it should be, and that's why you have that brain tumor. You're not loving yourself. I said, now, you want to die early? No. I said, well, if you don't ask your wife to forgive you and start walking in love with her and treating her like a lady, I said, I'm going to guarantee that brain tumor is going to kill you. I said, then I want to tell you something else. Not only is that brain tumor going to kill you, but I said, are you going to forgive her? He said, no. Wow. I said, okay, then not only is the brain tumor going to kill you, but your unforgiveness toward her is going to carry you into hell. Because God says if you don't forgive her, he's not going to forgive you. And there ain't going to be no impure thing in heaven. So I said, if you think you're a Christian, and you think that you're not going to forgive your wife for whatever she did, and you've already brought a brain tumor on yourself because you're not loving your wife, so you're not loving yourself. And God clearly said in his word, you must love me first, your neighbor, as yourself. Did he say that? So if you don't love yourself, you're sinning against God.
Amen.
Anything you do that's not according to the Word of God is sin.
Amen.
So if you're not loving yourself, it's sin, and it's bringing a devastating tumor in your brain, and the doctor says they're not going to be able to get it out of there, and he's a young man probably in his mid-30s, and the doctor says you're probably going to die. This thing's inoperable. So why does a man come to a man of God at that point? The doctor can't help. I heard about a healing ministry. Let's go out there. And I had his answer. But you know what that young man told me that night? I am not forgiving her. I said, I can't help you. I said, I've told you that if you don't forgive her, you're not loving yourself, you're not loving your wife, you have a grudge against her. I said, that's what's brought the brain tumor on. If you don't forgive, I'm going to guarantee you the brain tumor is going to kill you in a very short period of time. And I'm also going to guarantee you that because you won't forgive her, when you die, you'll not get to go to heaven. You're going to hell. He said, I'm washed in the blood and I'm going to heaven. I said, don't bet on it.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.